mentioned. We are always pleased to have an early morning and anytime visit with Pierre McGuire. Presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
I'm really well, JR. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you very much. You're on your way to the airport?
I'm at the airport,
okay,
sir.
All right. Very good. And on your way to?
I am going back to New York because tonight I'm calling the Florida-Tampa game. And then tomorrow I'll be talking to you from the airport in Detroit on my way to Buffalo for the big NBC this weekend.
Okay, all right. We'll try to keep track of all that. But let's start with the game you did last night, which was a marquee Western Division matchup, Colorado and St. Louis. The Avalanche end up winning the game by a score of 4-3. St. Louis played some good hockey lately. Colorado, arguably the best team in the entire NHL. Tell us about the game.
That was some kind of hockey game. Colorado was totally in charge, probably for the first 40 minutes of that game. And then it was total role reversal the last 20. Just an unbelievable performance by both teams. If that's a playoff series, that'll be a whole lot of fun, Jay. It really will be. I think the biggest thing when you watch Colorado play is just their speed and their skill, and it's four lines deep. Subtle little additions at the trade deadline, especially Carl Soderberg coming over from Chicago. It's really impressive to watch them play. I'm kind of blown away by just how deep the team is, and they're going to be a handful for everybody. Devin Dubnyk played last night, not Philip Grubauer, who was a late scratch because of COVID protocol, JR. And I would say, based on everything John Forslund and I heard last night, my play-by-play partner, Grubauer might not play for the next 2 weeks. So that's an issue. But they're very fortunate they were able to go out and obviously pretty tough.
On Devin Dubnyk, if he has to play the next 2 weeks, we didn't never really talked about at the trade deadline, his acquisition, and why Colorado felt the need to add another body in net after adding Johansson from Buffalo as well.
Well, I just think that they weren't really comfortable with Johansson being the backup. It's a young guy that really doesn't have a lot of NHL experience. So I think more than anything else, Joe Sakic is trying to make sure that he insured his hand. He said something really strong the other day, JR, that I thought was rather poignant. And the truth of the matter is, Joe doesn't say a lot, but when he talks, people listen. And then Joe just said, listen, we're all in. We're going for it. And that you could see by some of his acquisitions and what he's been able to do that they think this is a year where they have a legitimate chance to win the Cup, and they really have gone out and tried to go for it.
You mentioned that Grubauer, based on what you were hearing last night, could be out for 2 weeks. So does that indicate that he's had a positive COVID test?
I would imagine if that's what they're saying. Now, I don't know that, but
right.
That's why I use the term protocol, and I think it's important to do that. You don't know on a lot of these things. So that's how it was phrased by the league, and that's what the scuttlebutt was. We're not allowed down from other people that are around the team, and what we were told is there's a potential for him to be out for 2 weeks.
Okay, is there any worry at all that if there is a positive there, as far as the rest of the team goes?
Nobody said anything about it. You know, they already have Bo and Byram in COVID protocols, and so that's one person. And they also yesterday said that they had a member of their traveling party that was in COVID protocol. So we don't know much more than that. That's all we really know.
It's always it's the thin edge of the wedge, right? We're seeing, and it's obviously, we'll talk about the Vancouver situation here in just a second, but it has gotten a little bit better with especially the U.S.-based teams after a struggle earlier in the year. They seem to have, for the most part, righted the ship, so we'll keep our fingers crossed that everything works out well in Colorado as well. Do you look at St. Louis? You mentioned that, and this it's a decent possibility. These two teams will meet in the first round of the playoffs. Do you look at the Blues as still a team that's capable, if everything goes right, of being able to win a series against a team as good as Colorado?
I think so. I think the biggest thing is they're just going to have to get real super goaltending from Binnington, obviously. They're going to have to keep it together in terms of injuries, and Ryan O'Reilly's going to have to play at the same level he did when he won the Conn Smythe in 2019. I will tell you this, O'Reilly was excellent last night. He wasn't a little bit good. He was really good. So that's part of it, is just paying attention to certain elements of their team. And if those elements stay healthy and play the same way they're capable of, then I think they have a chance. But again, I would say that any series Colorado goes into, as long as they're healthy, they'll be the favorite.
Right, absolutely. All right, we'll talk about some of the other games. I wanted to quickly touch on Ottawa's game last night. And I know you read the reports, but you had your own game to do.
Yeah.
Jacob Bernard-Docker ends up getting into the game. He wasn't scheduled to, but Nikita Zaitsev wasn't able to go. He goes into the game, and he comes as advertised, Pierre. I tell you what, just a real steady player. Does not come across as nervous. They kind of spotted him in and out, but he ends up playing over 15 minutes in the game. If the film today shows what the coaching staff saw in live time last night, do you think that he, in all probability, stays in now for most of the rest of the season? Is that the right way to play it?
Oh, yeah, I think it is. That's why I was so bullish on the player going back a few years. Absolutely. And I think the film will play out the proper way, not having seen the game, full disclosure and transparency. But I would just say that, I'd be shocked if they did anything that wasn't more proactive towards him. He's going to be a major part, I think, of their long-term plan. And they need to get him as many reps as possible to try to get him up to speed so that he's ready to hit the ground running next year.
Yeah, Matt Murray ends up starting the game for the first time in more than a month. He was pretty solid, You can still see that the glove hand in particular, Pierre, the two goals in the third period both went over the glove, that's still a work in progress. How does a goal, and especially a new goalie coach in this situation, how do you work on just the fundamentals of a guy who's been playing a position for however, you know, it's 20 years of his life or whatever, of changing something that I'm sure is just ingrained? It's almost autopilot how he holds his hand and those sorts of things.
Henrik Lundqvist, for the longest period of time, was obviously an elite goaltender in the league, but they wanted to change him. And one of the things Hank used to do is stay really deep in the net. And so Benoit Allaire, the goalie coach with the New York Rangers, got Hank to start coming out and challenging more and more, and he became more aggressive. And I think it played well for Henrik Lundqvist, and I think the same thing with Matt Murray. Once you get him to understand that the glove positioning is wrong or the angle play is wrong, you got to show him on tape. A picture's worth 1,000 words for those guys. And if you do that and sell them the right way, then potentially he'll be able to make the changes. In the reports that I read, and I like this soundbite or quote from DJ Smith, he said, listen, the guy was solid in goal, played well. We also want to give him stuff to work on so that he's aware of what he needs to be better at in the off season. So, I think that's good. I think Ottawa is being really proactive in terms of how they're trying to deal with all their different situations, and goal is one of them, there's no question.
Nick Paul, who has been arguably Ottawa's best player overall in consistency, the only thing he hasn't been able to do this year, Pierre, is score goals. And he finally got one last night, first time since Valentine's Day he scored a goal, but has shown himself to be a really valuable player. Foot soldier. Should people who follow the team, should they really care much at all about statistics for a guy like a Nick Paul? Do they matter at all?
Statistics matter, but they don't matter as much as everybody thinks, especially if you got a player like that that's a big body that can do a lot of good things in terms of board play, corner play, slot area play, diligence defensively. Those things matter too, and coaches are looking for that all the time. Not everybody's going to be the lead singer of the band. You got to have support players, too, and Nick Paul is one of those guys. I'd say Nick Paul and Connor Brown have been two of the most consistent players the Ottawa Senators have had all year.
Yeah, unfortunately for Connor Brown, Pierre, his goal-scoring streak came to an end last night. All good things must come to an end. He had one shot on goal, and it wasn't a terrific scoring chance, and I think three attempts on the night. But I did want to touch upon Victor Mete as well, who skated almost 15 minutes, which was five more than he played the other night. Now, that was probably in part because Jacob Bernard-Docker played, and they kind of spotted him in and out a little bit. But tell you what, and it may have been the jerseys. The Sens were wearing the reds last night, Pierre, with black numbers, so it was hard to tell the numbers sometimes of the players. But he and Erik Brännström, as two smaller left-shot defensemen, look so much alike. It's incredible. Like they look like carbon copies of each other when you're watching through a television screen. It's really, really weird.
The one thing that you'll see over time, I think, is Brännström will produce more points than Mete. I think Mete will be more stout defensively in terms of physicality. But I think if you just measure it on points, you'll see that a long term, I think Brännström will score more. Mete will probably defend just a little bit better.
All right. Ottawa moves on to Montreal on Saturday. The Habs are coming off a loss to Calgary last night, 4-1. So the Flames are now within 4 points. As you can imagine, Pierre, there's a lot of angst in Montreal after a loss. They still have the three games in hand. How nervous should a Montreal fan be right now about their team?
I think very. You know, this is not exactly what they were thinking when they made the coaching change. And they, not this summer, when they spent over $100 million in free agency and trade acquisitions, this is not what they were expecting. So, no, obviously I think there's going to be some nervous energy there. I think the team is a lot better than what their record shows. So they're going to have to figure this out. They got a lot of games up at Calgary, as you know. Four games left, I think, coming up until April 26th. this is not going to be easy. You know, JR, three of those games are in Calgary after they play Edmonton. So the Montreal's going to have to get on their horse here. This is not very good. It's a little bit like the Boston Bruins and the New York Rangers. I mean, the Bruins clearly can feel the Rangers on their back, and I think Montreal can clearly feel Calgary's on their back.
So the Habs have lost 4 out of 5. And that's the same time frame as Brendan Gallagher has been out of the lineup with the broken thumb. It's an easy kind of point A to point B conclusion to say, well, obviously, as Brendan Gallagher goes, the Montreal Canadiens. Is that too easy? Is it too easy to kind of associate those two, or is there something to that?
No, there's something to it. It's not easy. There's something to it, JR. And Brendan is really an important guy with that organization. It's just the template that he creates every single game because of the hustle, the bustle, the physicality, the desire to get to the net, the ability to score greasy goals, create momentum for the team through physical play. He's just a really important guy. And I'll just tell you, I had a bad feeling when he got hurt. I know we talked about it on the show, and the more I watch them, the more you can see just how important Brendan Gallagher is to the well-being of the Montreal Canadiens.
Last night, I mean, Shea Weber had a giveaway which led to a Calgary goal, but just as an overall on this season, either throughout the season or maybe more of late, what has been your thoughts on Shea Weber's play this season?
It's been okay. There have been parts at the beginning of the year where I thought Shea was really good. He and Ben Chiarot were outstanding together as a tandem. And then you could see kind of injury and fatigue, you know, just little nicks and bruises because of how robust he plays, definitely affecting. Now, obviously, he's a little bit older, too, you know, in his mid-30s now. So part of that is just wear and tear and the amount of games. And so I understand there's probably some concern about where Shea is. But, at the beginning of the year, I thought he was playing like an A player. Now I'd say he's probably playing more like a B player, and he needs to get it back up. But I think you got to be realistic, too, and I just think fatigue is a big part of this, Jay. I really do.
One other note from last night, Marc-Andre Fleury gets the win in Vegas' victory over L.A. That's career win number 485. He's fourth all-time. He passes Ed Belfour with the victory last night. Everybody has been, you know, after Vegas was trying to get rid of him in the offseason, that was obviously a prudent move or a lucky move that they actually retained him given the injury issues with Robin Lehner. How do you think, let's project ahead, how do you think it, what do you think, and how does Vegas handle the goaltending after this season? Do you think they'll look to move Fleury again, or will they try to, he's got one more year left on his deal after this year.
And not only that, you got an expansion draft coming, so that's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. It really will be. So I think that's the great unknown is the expansion draft, and I can't even come close to predicting that. But no, Marc-Andre, I know I told you this last year, and I felt strongly about it. His behavior at the bubble in Edmonton was off the charts in a good way. Just, you know, all the disappointment and all the different stuff going on around their team and the situation with him getting pulled out and Robin Lehner being the starter, and he handled it so well. His teammates just adore him. I can't say enough good things about him. He's the ultimate pro in this league. He really is. He's just an unbelievable professional and a great gentleman. So whatever he wants to have happen, I hope happens his way, just because he's earned that. He's merited that.
Of course, Vegas, they can't lose any players in the expansion draft under the agreement, but we'll certainly see a goalie carousel for sure. How much longer do you think that he will want to play? Does he seem like the type of guy who's going to want to play 3, 4, 5 more years?
He wants to play, I think, as long as he's healthy and still playing at a high level. He loves the game. Now, again, it's hard to predict. You don't want to get in somebody's mind. I mean, I never thought Matt Niskanen would retire at 33. I never did, JR. Tell you what, he left $6 million on the table. I never thought he'd do that. So you never really can predict what guys are thinking. But I would say he'd like to probably play as long as he can.
All right, couple more for you. The Sabres officially have ruled out Jack Eichel for the rest of the season. He hasn't played since March the 7th. It's a herniated disc in his neck. It's a guess and it's speculation. But do you think that Jack Eichel ever plays another game for the Buffalo Sabres?
I can't even try to project that. I would say right now he's under contract to them, and who knows what's going to happen in the offseason there. So I just don't know the answer to that. But I didn't think that Jack was having a great year. In fact, I thought he was having a miserable year. I think Jack would probably tell you the same thing. So the truth is that Jack was probably not 100% when the season started, and you could see it in his play, and now they just got to go about getting him fixed.
Yep. I mean, you know him very well. You've watched him play for a lot of years. Yep. All indications are, Pierre, that they're going to have to, I don't know if start from scratch, but they're going to have to, again, at the very best, retool, if not rebuild in Buffalo. Do you think Jack Eichel's heart would be into being a part of another rebuild when he's been in one for most of his professional career?
I think it depends on how much confidence he has in the management group's direction, how much confidence he has in the coaching message, and who's going to be the next coach. If it's going to be Donny Granato, then Jack's going to have to sit with Donny and go over what the focus is. If it's not going to be Donny, it's going to be somebody else, whomever the coach is. And I hope Donny Granato gets a chance to keep it because he's done a really good job there. Whomever's in charge is going to have to sit and talk with Jack. They really are, and sell him on the program. And if Jack doesn't like what he has to hear or they have to say, then they're going to have to move him. It's just that simple.
And I wanted to end with, I know you were busy yesterday with the game. Did you see or hear the comments of JT Miller in Vancouver regarding the situation there?
I did. I read them.
Yeah.
I absolutely did.
Yeah, and just to bring everybody up to date who might not have, he said, and he was one of the few Canucks that didn't end up getting COVID in the gigantic outbreak with that team. He says, I don't feel ready to play hockey at all. And he says, this has nothing to do with hockey. To be brutally honest, we're going to need more time than this to come back and play hockey. Even the guys that didn't get it aren't ready. The Canucks are scheduled to have their first practice today. They're scheduled to have their first game tomorrow to start 19-31. Now, NHL and the PA are going to meet today with, I guess, it's still an outside possibility. They may push back this schedule. Do you think it's right that the NHL is scheduling the Canucks to play with this little preparation time with all these guys coming back from COVID protocol?
No, because you're asking for injury. You're asking for injury, and you're ruining competitive balance. It's going to be unbelievably difficult for them to be able to practice today and play tomorrow based on everything that's gone on. I felt terrible for those players and their families that are going through that stuff out there, and it couldn't have been a lot of fun, and it can't be a lot of fun right now. So hopefully they'll be able to meet the NHL and the NHLPA and try to figure something out here. This is just too big an ask, I think.
Yeah, we'll find out more today. But, yeah, it seems like this could change based on the way the talk has gone in the last 24 hours. But we'll find out. All right, we'll let you go on that note. Now you got a plane to catch. Really appreciate the early morning visit, as always. And we'll look forward to chatting with you again tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, JR. I'll watch the game on tape when I get on the plane. Okay. I'll have a better idea for you. I thought it was all about you.
All good, Pierre. Appreciate the time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.